Okay, good. All right, so good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Good morning. All right, we're excited this morning. That's awesome. So, first of all, I want to welcome everybody, especially any of the new power agents. We have people calling from all over the world, and some of you are in different time zones, so I appreciate you waking up early or staying up late, however it may go. So here's what we got going. First of all, this I'm going to go through some ground rules here a little bit because some of you, this is your first call. This is live. We are recording it, so there's no delay. So please don't say anything weird or do any heavy breathing unless I give you a reason to do so. And that was a joke, and when I tell a joke, you have to laugh out loud, otherwise I'll think you're all dead. Even if it's a bad joke. Okay. Anyway, so listen, if you are calling from your office or something, don't use your hold button during the call, because if you do that, that means we're all going to hear whatever commercial your company has, and that'll interfere with the call. If you're if you have us on a speakerphone, I'm going to tell you to mute yourself, so that way it won't interfere background noise. These recordings are very sensitive, so we can hear stuff in the background more so than on a regular call. So how you can mute yourself is you hit *6 on your keypad, and when you do that, I won't hear you. And so some people are doing that now. And then if you want to unmute yourself because you want to ask a question or something, then just hit *6 again, and that will unmute you. So those little pings that you hear, those are people that are calling in. Okay, now, the purpose of these calls every month is for me to go, number one, is to go over, there's a magazine that we put on the website for you. Now, some of you may not be familiar with the website. So let me give you that web address, and it's called thepowerprogram.com, thepowerprogram.com. When you go there, you have to use your username and your password to log in to see some of the things that I talk about. If you lost your username and password, simply email me, and we'll get it sent to you. Not during this call. It'll be happen after the call. By the way, everybody, my personal email address. And if you have questions that you want to ask me after this call, you know, I'll address it on the next call. What I really encourage you guys to do is to email me any challenges that you're having, questions that you have. There is a place to do that on the Power Program website, but you can always just send it to me personally or put me in your address book. That email is Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, at ddseminars.com, and that's plural. Let's see. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is we're going to go over the magazine that's on the website. You can only see it after you've logged in. And if you don't have the magazine in front of you, if you haven't printed it out, just kind of make some notes, okay? That'll be the first part. So during that this part, I'm going to just be talking. You're just going to be listening. The second part is then I'm going to go through. Some of you have emailed me questions this month, and it seems like almost every question, not it seems like it is, every question that I got was really referring to listings in some way or another. Listings, the presentation, FSBOs. So we're going to talk, this call is going to be focused primarily on that, which is a good idea because most of you probably have been seeing that some activity in the country, you know, where we're starting to see sales, we're seeing actually buyers bidding against other buyers. So there's a lot of good things that are happening in the market. If there's a negative, the negative is inventory is down, which in a lot of parts of the country, which is also creating some of the buyer bidding that's happening. So what really needs to happen for you is if there was any time for you to get more listings, now is the time because the buyers are coming off the fence. The buyers are hungry for houses. Now, I will tell you, I think that this might be a short-term situation. Everything that I've seen out there, and, you know, real estate's such a moving target, and plus the fact that this is an election year, you never know what's going to happen. But there's some word on the street that a lot of the shadow inventory that the banks have foreclosed on that haven't put on the market, they're going to be coming to the market. Some agents, what they've been doing is actually focusing more on short sales and foreclosed properties and things like that, which may not be a bad business model because we're going to see more and more bank properties coming onto the market. But if you want to traditionally doing the traditional approach where you're still just going after FSBOs, expireds, referrals, whatever the case is, now's the time to do that before you start competing with the bank inventory, okay? So we're going to talk about that. And then the last thing is we'll talk about a 30-day plan, what you should be doing the next 30 days, okay? If at any point while I'm talking, if you guys have any questions, also I'm going to open up all to coach you on anything. So if anybody has an issue that you want me to give you some one-on-one coaching, I'm going to give you that opportunity. So make sure that you, if you don't have a question that you want to ask me, you know, start thinking about what you want to ask me before this hour is up, and then you can jump in. Okay, so let's go through the magazine. Now, some of you don't have the magazine in front of you, as I said earlier. The thing to do with these calls, if you look on the website, it shows you when the upcoming calls are, when September, October is, et cetera. So what you should do is you go to the website before the call. You should print out the magazine and make notes to some of the things I'm going to say. If you don't have it in front of you, just make a mental note or write down the page number. All right, the first thing I want to talk about in the magazine, on page 22. It says, excuse me, gang, I'm already losing my voice.
I'm on a conference call, man.
Okay, so it says, hey, you, for sale by owner. So this is an ad that you could place. Hey, you, for sale by owner, what are you looking for? What are you looking in here for? Trying to get an idea on how much to ask for your home? I thought so. Well, that's not the way to do it. There is one way to do it, but there's a smarter way. All you need to do is pick up your telephone, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to prepare a comprehensive price analysis for you. So here's what this ad is basically saying, is if there's a place, let's say a print newspaper, whether it's Penny Savers in your market, if you have a place where for sale by owners are advertising their house for sale, one of the common things that a for sale by owner does is they do two things. Number one is they'll call realtors to come in, we give them a price, and then that's how they get their ID on their price. The second thing that they do is they look at what current other for sale by owners are advertising in their neighborhood. And so they do like this poor man CMA, which is they look in their town and they see a four-bedroom, two-bath colonial. Of course, it doesn't have the address, but they advertise, you know, for let's say $400,000, $399,000. So they'll say, well, my house is four bedrooms, my house is two baths, my house is similar to this ad, so therefore my house must be $399,000. So the idea here is that you can actually run an ad where for sale by owners would be actually advertising that before they advertise, that they're reading the ads, and tell them, hey, listen, if you're a for sale by owner and you're reading these ads to get an idea how much your house is worth, a better approach is to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to give you a comprehensive price analysis for you. I like, personally, the neighborhood market report. Instead of using CMA or competitive market analysis, whatever, I like the terminology neighborhood market report. There's a lot of things that I love about that. So, here's the other thing. I'm going to deviate off of the magazine for just a second. And are you guys still there with me? Somebody say something.
Hello.
Yep.
Gang, you still there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay,
yes.
There you are. Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't lose you guys. Okay. Because we had a technical problem one time where I kept talking and we lost the call. Okay, good. I'm glad you're still there. The one thing I want to deviate from is just share something with you. My stepsister-in-law, is that right? Yes. I don't have a family tree. It's more like a bush, so I have to think about relationships and what they're called. So anyway, my stepsister-in-law, her name's Kelly, and she is starting to get more into short sales because the neighborhood that she markets to, there seems to be a lot of short sales. So I gave her the idea. I just happened to stop off at the house. I was dropping my son off to spend time with his cousins. And within 10 minutes, I started creating this brochure for her. where she can, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit that they may have to sell their house short or that they're negative. So I said she should have what's called the Troubled Asset Program, TAP for short. And we started creating this brochure about saying things like, you know, because of this economy and at no fault of your own, it may be, you may be in a situation where the mortgage amount is more than the current value of your property. So what I, Kelly, have for our homeowners, our neighbors, is the Troubled Asset Program, which is designed to help you in this situation. And then it lists some of the benefits and what's included in this TAP program, which would be negotiating with the bank with you so you don't have to deal with the bank anymore, how to get your property sold and not pay a brokerage fee. So anyway, she'll list all the things that are customary when you're dealing with a short sale. But what I told her to do, and this is the real important point that I don't want you all to get, is that when you take an ordinary something and you give it a name to it, for example, the Troubled Asset Program, TAP, it gives so much more credibility to that thing that you're promoting. So instead of a CMA, you call it Neighborhood Market Report. So you want to start to look at any of the marketing tools or any of the benefits that you'd have with a homeowner. If you create your own name to it, that is a little catchy. It sounds unique. It sounds powerful. It sounds more credible. So, for example, another example of this would be, instead of you telling a homeowner you like to come over and see their house and just, you know, maybe talk to them about listing their
home. There's a lot of noise.
There's a lot of noise? All right,
yeah.
Let me see if I can fix that for you. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so gang, what I did now is I just muted everybody, but you can unmute yourself by hitting star 6. So if you have a question, you want to interrupt me, you'll have to hit star 6 now to do that. So I just muted everybody. All right, so now, as I was saying, instead of you telling a homeowner, yeah, I'd like to come over and talk to you about listing your property, if that's the kind of conversation you would have, although you wouldn't do that with a for sale by owner, but if you have somebody who calls you off of a sign or they respond to a mailing that you do, what you may want to say is call your listing presentation a seller success system. This is a system that you have that's for sellers that's designed to help them successfully sell their house. So it would be called the seller success system. So it's your listing presentation that you would normally do, but you're just giving a name to it. I cannot stress enough the power of giving names to things. And I think in this magazine there's a couple other examples. All right. On page 23, there is a letter from one of our students, called a banker agent. She said, Dear Inwood neighbor, which, of course, you want to customize that, so it should say, Dear Mary, Dear John, etc. I am delighted to announce that I participated in the sale of the home located at etc., etc. So the only thing, so basically this is a, you know, just sold letter, and there's some other good parts about it. I'm not going to read the letter, but it's a well-written letter. I love the second paragraph where she talks about how she grew up in the community and in the neighborhood, and she even talks about some personal stuff about her brothers and sisters. So it's a really well-written letter. The only thing I would change in it is where she said, other than the addressing part, she said, I'm delighted to announce that I have participated in the sale of the home located. I would get rid of the word participated. I would just simply say, I'm delighted to announce that I just sold the home located at et cetera, et cetera. On page 24, if you have a relationship with a bank, one of the things that you may want to consider doing with all your listings is put out a little postcard or a flyer that shows people that if they were to put down X amount of dollars on this property, that here's what the monthly payment should be. It's just another little takeaway piece of a buyer, even if that buyer is being shown the house with another agent that they can take away. It's a way to reduce the asking price in the mind of the buyers to just the monthly payments. You know, a lot of times when you think about it, when it comes to a buyer buying a house, there's the monthly payment and then there's the sales price. And what you all know is what hangs us up on negotiations is that buyers get hung up on the actual price that they're trying to negotiate with the seller. And it really becomes such a like they're trying to win or get a deal, and sometimes we've seen deals fall apart or people fight over $1,000 or $2,000, which is really quite absurd. And it's almost like it's not about owning the home anymore. It's about just winning on a price. So it's really important whenever you're dealing with your buyers, when you show them the property, when you are writing the offer, when you're negotiating the offer, I think one of the basic things that we get away from that is so important that we need to keep doing is always say, what does that mean in monthly payment? Because that's what really impacts people's day-to-day lives. That's what they really should be concerned about. So I really love page 24, that it helps promote that concept. On page 25, I gave you a letter that you can customize at the bottom. You know, you need to make some room to put your face and company information. But it's a letter that you can send out or a flyer you can create that talks about the For Sale by Owner First Aid Kit. Now, this concept, the For Sale by Owner First Aid Kit, was created, the first time I ever heard it was Tom Hopkins, who in my opinion is the godfather of real estate sales training. And what his concept was is that you take everything that a homeowner needs to sell their own home, checklists, forms, lead paint disclosure, any legal documents, a copy of a binder, all the stuff that we learn for us to get licensed, right? So you take all that and you put it together and you package it, and it should be a substantial book, you know, if you take everything, every little thing that you can think of. And that's the point. The bigger, the better, okay? And you call it the For Sale by Owner First Aid Kit. This letter or flyer promotes a homeowner contacting you asking for this kit. Now, the reason why you want to do that is because when you don't mail it to the homeowner, you actually will bring it to them if they want this free, no obligation For Sale by Owner First Aid Kit. And one of the things you can do when they respond to that is you can go through with them what's in the kit. So you go through lead paint disclosure, seller's disclosure, all this stuff. And as you go through this, hopefully what starts to happen is people go, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize this was involved in selling a house. And you can almost make a funny little comment, like if you need 70 hours to get licensed as an agent in your state, you can say, well, if you give me another 69 and a half hours, I can go through it all, because that's how much time it takes for us to even get licensed in real estate, assuming we pass the test. So, yeah, there's a lot more than just putting an ad in the paper. So that's what page 25 is. Page 26 is just a great ad. Page 27... Now, here's a good example of this. Sandra Nickel, when I was talking about giving a name to something, Sandra Nichols, what she did is she's advertising the Smooth Move program, and she even put a TM on there to trademark it. And for those of you who don't have the magazine in front of you on page 27, let me just read a little bit of it. It says, a Smooth Move, when your home's a part of Sandra Nichols' Smooth Move program, you can relax about your home sale. Here's why. And then she lists some bullets. I'm not going to read them all, but let me just read two or three. She says, you'll get more money for your home in a shorter time with fewer problems. You'll know that your buyer is qualified before you sign the contract. You'll have no worries about hidden property defects that might spoil your sale and or eliminate your profit. And here's more good news. And then there's more bullets. The next paragraph, Sandra Nichols Smooth Move Program doesn't cost, it pays. So problem-proof your next home sale. Call Sandra Nichols today and look forward to a smooth move. Sandra Nichols Smooth Move Program includes a preliminary professional inspection of your roof, foundation, plumbing, and electrical system. It's a service and inspection of your heating and cooling system. And then it goes on. Gang, this is basically... A lot of companies have a home warranty type of program. Either you're working with a third-party vendor or your franchise has something, and that's all this is. This Smooth Move program is just that home warranty program that costs usually around $350. But what Sandra Nichols did was really brilliant. Number one is she gave it her own name, which, again, I can't stress it. It's really awesome that she did that. The second thing that she did is she actually spelled out the bullets and created a whole flyer and promotional piece about this program. Now, this is her taking just one of the marketing tools that she has, one of the things that she offers both buyers and sellers, and she's created a whole marketing piece around it. Brilliant. I mean, page 27 is I just love it. By the way, there's so much. The magazine this month is over, I don't know how many, it's over 40 or 50 pages. And for those of you that are new to this call, here's what I need to tell you. Number one is there's a year of magazines on the Power Program website. And what I try and do is give you so much stuff, and I don't expect you to implement it all. It's too much. So what I want you to do is if every month you just implement one or two pages that's in the magazine, well, man, if you did two a month, that's 24 new marketing pieces or forms or checklists, whatever that you can do. So don't feel like you have to implement everything. Pick something that you like and run with it. Page 28 is a list of hang on one second. I just want to make sure I'm not having any technical problems. Yeah, page 28 is just a great idea for buyers that come into your office. You can give, and actually you can do this with sellers. By the way, anything that you do for buyers, you can actually use on a listing appointment to show the homeowner. When you work with buyers, before you show them property, here's some of the things that you do. Because these are the things that a homeowner can't do, or a lot of things that a homeowner can't do when they're being a FSBO, because they're not seeing the buyer before the buyer sees the property, right? So one of the things you might do when you first meet with a buyer is give them this simple thing. Listen, thanks for coming in, meeting with me, and I want to help you guys find out property today. Here's what I've done. We find that when most buyers are moving into a new home, especially in a new area, they don't have vendors that they know who to work with, whether it's a painter, a plumber, just basic repairs, et cetera. So what I have put together is a contractor's phone list of a couple of vendors that I know that I've worked with that do really good jobs. And then what I would do is recommend at least two people in each one of these categories so that way the homeowner can make their decision of who they work with. This is something you can show a homeowner on a listing point. One of the things I do, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, is one of the things that kills transactions for sellers is it's called buyer remorse. And gang, don't assume the homeowner knows what that means. So here's how you would explain buyer's remorse to a homeowner. Just imagine, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, when you, if you were to buy anything, have you bought anything new recently? You know, and if they say yes, great, use that as an example. If they say no, then just pick something. Say, well, you know, if you ever bought a suit or a dress or a car, anything that's really important to you, when you leave that store, you start to ask yourself a question, and that question sounds something like, did I make the, and let them finish the sentence for you, right decision, exactly. And what starts to happen is people start to question the decision they made. Well, let me tell you something, that happens with buyers all the time, that after a buyer has shown interest, I mean, not all the time, but most of the time, when a buyer makes a purchase or they've negotiated a sale, they leave and they say, did we make the right decision? Is there a better house out there? Is this the right neighborhood for us? So one of the things that I do is I help a buyer before I even take them out and work with them is to try and remove or preempt some concerns that they have when they have buyer remorse. For example, when they move into a new neighborhood, they're very concerned about, well, how are we going to make friends? How are we going to fix things? What kind of problems that could happen? Who do we go to? So one of the things I give my buyers before I even show them any houses is this contractor's phone list to kind of remove the pressure or concern that they have all of these people that are behind them. If they need any one of these resources, I made it simple for them. That would be an example on how you can use that on a listing appointment. Here's another one. On page 29, it shows the loan process, that once a buyer goes to contract, one of the major reasons why it falls through is because of the loan not getting approved. So I would use this form for both buyers and sellers. You can show a buyer, here's the process. Once we find the property that you like, there's two phases to buying a home, and both phases are pretty big and can get overwhelming sometimes. Number one is obviously finding the right home for you, and that could be a stressful, daunting task. It's just part of the process. So let's try and enjoy as we look at properties and don't get too overwhelmed with that process. The second thing is once we find the home that works for you, then we have to go for the mortgage. And that's a whole other process, and there's a tremendous amount of paperwork that's involved. As a matter of fact, the more you can start getting paperwork together now, the easier it is for you once we find the property. And so this little loan process, page 29, can show that to a buyer. I would give them a copy of it so that way, as the process is occurring, they can see where they are in the process. I would also show this to a homeowner, showing a homeowner that selling a house, one of the mistakes that homeowners make is they think selling a house is simply, you know, finding the buyer and then going to contract. And after all that's done, then everything's perfect in the world. The house is sold. Well, actually, that's not true. And by the way, gang, when a homeowner says, I have an attorney that'll do this for us, and that's why we don't need an agent, because if we find the buyer, then we're going to give it to our attorney. They're going to deal with it. The problem with that thinking is the number one reason why deals fall apart, the most popular one, is because of the loan process. And Mr. and Mrs. Seller, whether you it's your attorney or the buyer's attorney, neither attorneys get involved at all in helping the buyers make sure that they get approved for the loan. Now, the bank, of course, is the one that's going to be doing the process, but part of what an agent does is to make sure that during that process the deal doesn't fall apart, that we help the bank in any way that we can in getting them what they need to make sure the loan goes through. And the analogy, gang, that I like to use, it's almost like fishing. And some of you have heard me do this before, but I'll do it again because I think it's a really good analogy, is that if you go out to catch a fish, you know, if you throw out a line and you catch a fish and you bring it on board, now you're not going to eat the fish raw. What you have to do is you've got to prep the fish. You've got to scale it. You've got to clean it. Then the next thing is you need to cook it and season it. And then after that, then you can enjoy it. Well, selling a house is the same way. See, once you catch the buyer and bring them on board, that's where the real work begins, because now we've got to prep the buyer, and that's the home inspection. That's the mortgage approval, and et cetera, et cetera. So in selling a house, it's more than just catching the buyer. There's these other steps that come into play that we need to worry about. Page 30 is a great moving day checklist for buyers. I love this, to give this to them. Then page 31 starts some vendors that we recommend that we think are really good vendors. We have no affiliation with them, but I'm just trying to give you guys resources. Okay, so gang, that's the magazine. As I said, there's other months of magazines you need to check out now, and that's on the Power Program website. In addition to this month with the magazine, I give you slides every month, you know, 2 to 4 for buyers and then 2 to 4 for sellers. So this month, I'm looking at the buyer slides right now. I'm just going to read this to you. CoreLogic, they said the fourth straight month home prices have increased. And it talks about how property values for 4 consecutive months have been going up. That's to show a buyer, before you show them any property, that the market is healthy. We may have hit bottom. Gang, I'm going to say this. When you meet a buyer for the first time, before you show them any property, you should be sitting down with them and having like a buyer presentation. And part of that presentation is to give your credibility, some background about you, about your company, about the market, and what's happening in real estate. It's almost like a State of the Union address where you want to tell them, here's what's happening in the real estate industry, and especially in your market. And what you want to do is, in that conversation, is you want to motivate the buyer that, listen, we don't want to just look at houses. We better buy something because the market's good and it may change. So one of the slides I gave is to show a buyer that, hey, prices are going up. The next one is from Diane Orlick from CNBC. She said both home prices and rents are on the rise. And it goes through and explains that rents are rising faster than the asking prices of property. So the point is that it doesn't even make sense to rent anymore because rents have gone up so much. That's that slide. Zillow talks about buying a house is still cheaper than renting, and that slide explains that. And then the last slide for buyers says interest rates inch up again. So that's from Freddie Mac. So interest rates are going up, prices are going up, rentals are going up, it's cheaper to buy a house. Mr. and Ms. Buyer, it looks like we're on an uptick, and this is perhaps the best time for you to move before it gets any worse for you. Now, then I have three slides for sellers, gang, telling sellers, now this is the negative side, that there's many buyers that still prefer to rent right now. And so there's a slide from Diane Orlick. The next one from Realty Track, it says a new crop of foreclosures is coming to flood the market. And that slide explains that we've got all these foreclosed homes that the banks haven't put on the market yet. Once they hit the market, it's going to drive traditional prices down because of the amount of inventory that's going to, there's going to be a glut of inventory, and that's going to bring property values down. So if you're thinking about selling, now's the time to sell before the banks start bringing these properties to market. And then the last slide says from National Association of Realtors that sales of existing homes dropped unexpectedly in June, down 5.4%. So we're seeing less sales than we have recently. We're going to see a glut of properties on the market. So, Mr. Micella, we need to sell our house and price it aggressively. All right, now, that's it for the magazine. Oh, my gosh. Okay, the next thing. I have some questions that came in from some of the power agents. The first one here is from, is it Lorraine? Lorianne? How do you say your name? Son of a gun. Lorianne, Coal Banker in Illinois. Are you on the call, hon? If you are, can you hit star 6 on your phone so that will take you off mute? So if any of you need to talk to me, you need to hit star 6 to take me off mute, unless I can see if I can do it. But that may make it very noisy. Hang on. Okay. Are you guys there? Can somebody say something? Nope. Okay. Very good. I can't do it. Oh, gosh. Okay. Now, mute individuals, entry time. Okay. All right. So let me just go on. I guess you guys will have to hit star 6 to unmute yourself. I'm sorry. We're just having this technical problem. All right. So here's what Lorianne said. She said, as one of the many struggling agents, I've been doing rentals now. She's talked about in this email, I won't read the whole email, she says that, hang on one second, gang. I'm sorry, just be patient. Technology is great only when it works, and when it doesn't work, it's a pain. Hang on one second, gang. I'm going to see if I can fix our problem here. Hang on. Just talk amongst yourselves. Oh, no, you can't because you can't hear each other. Okay, I guess I cannot. All right, we're just going to stick with the way it is. I wanted to try and unmute you guys, but I don't think that I can. Do me a favor. Somebody hit star 6 on your keypad. Anybody. I just want to see if I can unmute, if you can unmute yourself. If somebody can do that. Anybody hit star 6. And if that doesn't work. Okay, so I guess you can't unmute yourself. So let me just finish the call this way. So Lorianne, she said that she's been working with some tenants and she's having some problem with them getting pre-qualified, and all of a sudden she finds out that after a credit check the tenants are declined. So I feel obligated to answer this question for, and that is, and she says to me in the email, she says, I know you'll also probably tell me, Daryl, to forget the rentals and just do the listings, right? I know. And yes, Lorianne, you're right. You should not be doing rentals. You should be getting listings. And the only thing I can tell you, if you are doing rentals or anybody's doing rentals, the only thing I can say is if you're having people not getting approved, I will work more closely with your with a loan officer to have them pre-qualify the buyers to make sure that pre-qualify the renters to make sure that they're going to get approved for a rental. So that's the only thing you can do. You should all be working with loan officers in a tight way, especially in this climate, in this market. So you want to make sure that you have good loan officers that are going to support you in all aspects of your business. Now, I will tell you one of the things that I did as an agent is that I had three companies or banks that I worked with. There was the banks that we worked with that were really good at getting loans approved quickly when the buyer or renter was a good credit risk. Okay, they got good rates, good quick approvals. Then there was another company that we worked with, is that when the person's credit was not that good, they could still get the loan, but of course they're not going to pay the best rate and they're going to have to pay a little extra somewhere. The third company we work with was his name was Vinny, and he gave money out of the back seat of his car, and there was no paperwork, but the interest rate's very high. I'm half joking. So my point is that we shouldn't just work with one mortgage company or one loan officer. We should make sure that we diversify a little bit to based on the buyers that you have, so that way you can just put the deals together. Now, here's something that, as an aside, that I want to share with you, and that is when you're on a listing appointment, one of the things you should do is have business cards of people that you work with. Okay, so for example, if you're a loan officer, a title company, an attorney, termite inspection, engineer inspector, you should have business cards of all of these vendors that we work with when it comes to a home stager, when it comes to getting a property sold. And one of the things I would do on a listing appointment, I would show a homeowner, you know, Mr. and Mrs., this is really good, gang, what I'm saying. I know I got distracted, and some of you may have gotten frustrated with, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to unmute you guys. I don't know why it's not happening. So, that, by the way, that's really frustrating me. But what I'm about to tell you is very powerful and important. If when you're on a listing appointment, one of the things that we have to do is to show a homeowner that we can do things that they can't do. And because of the things that we can do that they can't do, it results in them getting their house sold quicker for more money than they can on their own. So if you're talking to a homeowner and you have these business cards of these other vendors, I would say something like, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, one of the things, when it comes to selling a house, there's so many different people involved in putting it together. Just like building a house. When you're building a house from scratch, there's so many people. There's not one person that's doing everything. So you have a separate company that their skill, all they do is lay the foundation, and that's all they do. That's their specialty. Then you have another crew of people that actually stud out the property. Then you have another crew where they do the electrical work. And then you have another group that deals with the survey part, which actually is before anything's even built. There's the architecture who designs it. There's the survey. So you've got all of these people that are involved in building one house. Now, there's one person that kind of manages the whole thing, and that's called the general contractor. This is the one, this would be similar to a director in a Broadway show. You've got all of these people involved trying to put it together. When it comes to selling a house, there's all of these other people that's involved in making sure that the sale happens. We have the termite inspector. We have the engineer inspector. We have the loan officer. We've got the attorneys. We've got all these people involved. And I want you to know what I've done in my business is I've made sure I've aligned myself with a team of people that when I'm working with a buyer, we have access to this crew, if you will. And here's just some of their pictures, their business cards. And I would show it in my listing book. And then I would say to a homeowner, so in addition to me being responsible in marketing the property to get the buyers here, I'm kind of like that general contractor, the person that coordinates with all of these people to make sure that there's no hang-ups, and when you go to contract, you actually will see closing. And that's one of the disadvantages a homeowner has when selling on their own. They don't have this team, and they don't have that general contractor dealing with the team to make sure the property gets sold. I really like that. I think what I just said was brilliant. Okay, that's it. All right, now, Wendy Leisman, her question was this. She said that she's, I can tell you how much I'm enjoying your class. Good. She said, I recently went on a listing discussion. The person seemed very pleased with me, spoke several times about staging. You talked about price. You actually suggested a higher price, and it seems, according to your email, that they were thinking of going at a lower price because of health issues, and they need to get moving. And they called you, and they asked you, how many houses have you sold in the past year in the area, and you said none. I work with referrals and friends as I have been doing sales and marketing for the last 10 years. And after all, they want to market and sell a property. So what basically happened is these people wound up listing with another agent. And your question is, Wendy, how can I answer the experience question? Well, that's a good thing. First of all, for any of you that don't have a lot of sales or listings under your belt, either in your career or in the market that you may now start, you may be working, here's what I'm going to tell you, is that, first of all, when you go on the listing appointment, you have to have more confidence, make sure you have the confidence in what you're saying. That's number one. Because the usually I got the question when I, the first year in real estate when I started working, or the first few months, I did get that question, how long was I in real estate? And so what I needed to do is make sure that I mastered that listing appointment so well. And actually, I could only afford one suit when I was started as an agent. I was 19 years old, and I've been living on my own since 16. And anyway, so I was struggling financially, and I really could only afford one suit. And to keep that suit clean, I actually didn't wear it to the office. When I went to the office and I worked and I prospected, I was in jeans and a T-shirt. And then when I got an appointment, I put the suit on. And I bought the best suit that I can afford, so that way when I went on a listing appointment or I showed property, I looked successful. And I made sure that I knew my conversation, my listing appointment, so well that people wouldn't even think of asking me how long I've been in real estate or how many houses I sold. They just assumed that I was experienced. So that's number one. Number two is when they ask you, you know, how many properties have you sold in the market, here's what I would say. I wouldn't say none. I would say it this way. I'd say, well, I'm actually starting to, I've been focusing my business in other markets or other cities, and my commitment is to now be the top agent in this market. So part of what I'm doing to have that happen is to work with homeowners such as yourself to do such an outstanding job. As a matter of fact, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, what I'm going to ask you, in order for me to even take this job on to market your property, I kind of need a promise for you, from you. And the promise is if I give you outstanding service, which I will, and I get you the monies that you need to make the move of success, which I will, that you agree to write a testimonial letter that I'll mail out, but it's going to be from you to your neighbors. So it'll be, for example, dear neighbor, blah, 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 and that's why I need your support in that regard, because my commitment is to be the number one agent in this marketplace. So I'm going to give you red carpet treatment, and we're going to get this property sold. Now, by the way, here's how I do that. Here's another thing I want to tell you to help you in having this happen. And then I would go on to another marketing tool. So when they ask me that question, that's how I would have answered it, and I would have then segued immediately into here's how I'm going to do that, and then start again talking about my listing, my marketing techniques for that homeowner. So, Wendy, that's how I would have answered it. Now, if also that you don't feel that you can have the confidence when you're on a listing appointment, another option you can have is bring somebody who is active in your office, who is active in the neighborhood, so that way it's two agents for the price of one. The last thing I would say to Wendy is that make sure that on the listing appointment, when you are talking about yourself, that you're going through all of your credentials, the fact that you're a member of the local board, the fact that you are a member of NAR, the fact that you know, you even have your license in the state. And the other thing that you should promote is the fact that you're a power agent. You know, any of you that are subscribed and part of this power agent program, you can call yourself a power agent. And how I would suggest that you present that on a listing appointment is that you would tell a homeowner, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, one of the things, too, is that my credentials is that I'm a power agent. I'm in this coaching program, a year-long coaching program called the Power Program, and that gives me the designation of being a power agent. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had a choice to hire an accountant, one's a CPA and one isn't. Now, if it didn't cost you any money, more money, I should say, that they both cost you the same, which would you hire, a CPA or a non-CPA? And the homeowner would say a CPA. Say, well, that's what a power agent is. A power agent is technically a CPA of realtors because they're in this program. So I would also use it that way, Wendy. Now, next one is Derek Jackson. Derek, his question says, I'm having trouble staying focused and converting FSBOs. Okay, so here's I'm going to tell you, Derek, how to deal with that. And hang on a second. I just want to see. Derek, if you're on the call, I want you to hit *6 and see if we can unmute you. And this is really frustrating me. Mute individual line. I don't think I can do this. I don't know why it's not working. Okay, there we go. Oh,
hello?
I just unmuted everybody. Okay, I can hear you all.
Hello?
Okay, Derek, are you on the call?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Derek?
I'm here.
Okay, great. I'm very happy. Okay, so any of you that are on a speakerphone to resist the noise, if you hit *6 again, that'll mute just you. Derek, you stay with me. So, sorry, gang, I'm so glad we fixed that. So, Derek, you tell me you're having problems staying focused and converting FSBOs, yeah?
Yeah.
Derek, are you, when you say converting FSBOs, are you talking about when you call the FSBO that you're having problems getting the appointment? Is that what you're saying? Or when you're on the appointment, you're not getting the listing?
I schedule appointment and the listing appointment, just having trouble converting them.
Okay. By the way, I hear the extra noise in the background, gang. Don't worry. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to mute everybody in a second. I just wanted to talk to Derek. Okay, so you're getting the listing appointment, Derek, but you're not actually converting them on the appointment. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Derek, let me just mute everybody again. Derek, you can, according to the instructions that I just got, it says if you hit *6 on your keypad, it should unmute just you. And just do it once and do it slow, and we'll see if that works where you and I can talk. If not, I'm just going to present. Are you there, Derek?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I can hear you now. Okay, good. So everybody's muted except for you and I, Derek. So now we won't have the noise and we can talk. And then I'm going to go on to Eric. Troutman should be on the call, hopefully, and Eric, I'm going to ask you to do the same in a minute. So, Derek, here's the first thing I'm going to say as far as staying focused. When you say staying focused, are you talking about doing the activities that you know you should be doing, like prospecting? Is that what you mean?
Right, things that come up during the day and that are kind of like, I guess, interfering with my prospecting time, and it seems like, you know, the day flies by and I'm not able to get in the number of calls that I want to get in. So
yeah, I got it. I guess, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Derek.
I'm not sure what the remedy is for that, but that was my question.
All right. So, Derek, here's when I I'm going to just tell you what I did. I had the same problem when it came to when I was training to run the New York City Marathon. Is that at first of all, I'm overweight. I don't like to run. I'm not into being healthy. So I had all that going. So the bottom line is I didn't want to. I really didn't want to run. And the only reason why I was doing it, though, was to raise money for leukemia. So so I had a big I don't want to. And then on top of it, I had distractions. So the first couple of weeks, what I try to do is I try to run at the end of the day because they say that you get energy from running, so it makes sense to do it in the morning, but that wasn't the case with me. When I would run, I would get exhausted, and I would be dragging the rest of the day. So I try to do it in the evening. What happened always was with the combination of the fact I didn't want to do it, with the distractions that I had and projects that I started, it seemed like I kept pushing the running time later and later. First it was 6, then it was 7, then it was 8, then it was 9, then it was time for bed. So for me, what I had to do is I had to move it back to the first part of the day. It had to be right in the morning, the first thing that I did. And as much as it drained me the rest of the day, that was the only way I could get the run in. So when it comes to prospecting, the first thing I would say is if you're getting distracted by other things, you need to schedule the prospecting as the first part of your day, not the middle or the end of the day. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Derek, it's better to call in the evening when people are home. But if you're not doing it, then you may have to put it, it's better to do it and get not as many people than not to do it at all. You'll still have better results in the morning than not doing it. So that's one option. That's number one. Number two is if you partner up with somebody, I'm not saying to share your business, but you schedule it in the evening with a partner. And you guys make a commitment, or you and this other person make a commitment to each other that you're going to make this call Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And you schedule prospecting time that you both are going to do. And so now you're going to hold each other accountable. Derek, do you work out at a gym at all, or no?
Yeah, first thing in the morning, probably about like 7
okay.
o'clock.
Okay, so you know how regimen did you always, how long have you been going to the gym? This is important.
Probably since about January this year.
Okay, good. When you started going to the gym, did you like it or you didn't like it?
I despised it, to be honest.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, to be honest, I despised it. So.
Okay, so how did you do it? How did you get to the point where you do it every morning now?
I guess I just did it. I mean,
if you have me on a speakerphone, take me off there because it's your break. It's hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah, I guess I just made it happen. I don't know. I just waited.
Did you go by yourself to get a trainer?
No, I didn't get a trainer. I have a friend that I go with occasionally, or I guess I just I had somebody to kind of call me to check on me and make sure that I was going. So
you went with a friend, so that's basically what I'm saying on the prospecting. The other thing is, why did you start going to the gym?
I needed to stay active, and I wanted to increase my energy level, and I've kind of been athletic for my entire life, and I wanted to get back to that spot.
All right, so you had a real commitment that was driving you, right? So when you do things that you don't want to do or that you get distracted, so usually when we get distracted by other things, it's because we think those other things are more important than the thing that we're doing. I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
All right, that's important. See, if you have something that's important to you, you won't get distracted. So the problem is not the distractions. The problem is your relationship to the thing that you said that you want to do. And
right,
prospecting
okay.
is not what you really want to do, and that's why you're getting distracted. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
So you need to have the prospecting become more important than anything else in your life. Now, how do you do that? Well, it goes back to goal setting, goes back to next level. You've got to have something that's driving you, something that's bigger than the distractions, bigger than the prospecting, bigger than everything. Like when you started going to the gym, you had a commitment to getting healthy, to your energy. Like that seemed really important to you. And so that was number one. Number two is you had a partner to go with you, which kind of there's accountability. It makes it a little bit more fun because now it's not just you with yourself, but it's you creating a moment, if you will, with a friend of yours where you're going together. So that's all part of it. So the synergy of you doing it with somebody else and you having a commitment that's bigger than the I don't want to go. Are you with me?
Yeah, okay.
So my suggestion is get clear about what you're committed to, go with a partner, and do that on a regular basis. And if you do it eventually, it's going to become a natural habit for you, just like the gym is now. Now, the other thing is converting the FSBOs. I want to talk about Eric Troutman because he also had a similar question. He said, Darryl, I'm getting into 5 FSBOs a week. Hey, Eric, if you're on the call, and by the way, you can stay with me, Derek. But, Eric, if you're on the call, I want you to hit *6 very slow on your keypad, and that should unmute you.
I'm here.
Eric, hi.
I'm here.
How are you doing? All right, so I got
good,
Eric.
Good, how are you?
Derek. Good. Listen, the two of you, it's your rhyme. It's like we should do a radio show. It's the Eric and Derek show. So, Eric, you're getting into 5 FSBOs a week, which is awesome, and you're having a very good listing presentation, although we want to call that conversation, but you're not getting the listings. You're going in at a high commission. You've taken a couple even higher, and you're not sure where the disconnect is, okay? So I'm going to say some things, and then I want you to tell me if you're doing it or not doing it, okay?
Okay.
First of all, Eric, and Derek, even though I'm talking to Eric, this is for you too, okay? And you can ask me questions too, Derek. Eric, are first of all, the FISBOs you're going on. So you've got five FISBOs a week that you're going on, which is awesome. And I'm very excited about that. Because, you see, what you're doing, Eric, that Derek isn't, is that you're getting in the habit of prospecting and getting the appointments. Derek, you need to get to that point, okay, where getting five listings appointments a week is awesome. But you're not getting the listings. So that's the next skill set we have to look at. Are these people actually listing, Eric, or they're not listing?
They're all from Red X, and probably at this point half of them end up listing with someone else. The other half are staying as FISBOs.
Okay. Okay. So you're definitely losing at least half that you could have gotten because they're listing with somebody, yes?
Yes.
If you were to guess what you think the challenge might be, what do you think it might be?
Part rapport and part, like the little yeses along the way, but probably part commission, and I come off too stern that, that's my commission, too bad.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to suggest, okay? And on these short calls, this is why the one-on-one coaching is so good, but on these short calls, it's hard to cover everything. But here's what I think. I think when you go in the listing appointment, you have to make commission not the issue and sell the industry.
Oh.
I'm going to suggest that the problem is that when you went, they didn't buy into Realtor, okay? And
okay,
when somebody else came, they bought into that Realtor or they just bought into cheap. So, for example, let's say that you go on the listing appointment and you say something like, first of all, Eric, just having your brain to have Realtor and commission not be an issue for a homeowner. So you would explain to them, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, I see that you're a for sale by owner. Thank you for having me come over. All that stuff, right? And say one of the things that homeowners don't realize in selling your own home, you actually aren't saving money. You lose money. I'll give you for instance. And then I would show them the slide, which is on the Power Program website, Eric, that talks about the for sale by owner CEO who tried selling his home this year on his own, because he created the forsalebyowner.com site, and he tried.
Yeah, I have that.
You have that slide.
I use that slide. I have the Wall Street Journal article.
Okay, so you're doing the FISBO. You're doing which is the Wall Street Journal. Are you using the USA Today article that shows that homeowners? Okay, good. So you're showing that. I would use the Kelley Blue Book analogy, which I don't know if you've heard me do that one. Have you heard me do that one?
I might have, but I don't remember it.
Okay, well, I would do these all together. So I would do the CEO, the for sale by owner CEO, the USA Today article. The next thing I would say is I would tell them about selling or buying a car. If you were to go to Kelley Blue Book, you'll see that if you're going to buy or sell, there's usually like, there's two big, and Eric, I would actually take a screen capture of the Kelley Blue Book site where it shows, are you buying through a dealer or are you buying privately? And it's almost like two different portals. So whatever one you click, it then continues the process. And I would show a homeowner, so you see, for example, with Kelley Blue Book, they're saying if you're going to buy a car, you can take the same car with the same mileage, same everything, heck, the same VIN number, right? And when you put it in a dealership, you're going to pay more money than if you buy privately. And the reason why that is because the mentality is for the buyer that's going to buy from a dealership that there's more credibility because if something should go wrong, there's a company to hold accountable. If you buy a car from somebody privately and something goes wrong down the line, you really can't hold that person accountable because that's an individual. And that's the same thing when it comes to selling a house or buying a house for a buyer. The buyers that come to a realtor, there's a certain amount of, even though that people don't like dealing with salespeople, there's still the comfort that you're buying from an organization. That's why that USA Today article is true. I'll give you another for instance. If you were going to buy a couch, you've heard me probably do this, Eric, but I'm just going to keep it going. If you were going to buy a couch, if you go to Ethan Allen, you're going to pay top dollar. You know it's a good quality couch, but you know before you even walk in, you're going to pay top dollar. So any buyer that goes into Ethan Allen is going in with the mindset, we're paying top dollar, and that's okay because we want a good couch from a company we trust. Any buyer that buys a couch on eBay, they're looking for a deal. They don't know if what that couch has been used for, the quality of the couch. They don't know the seller, even I don't care how many stars they have. So any buyer that walks into my office, they know that the house that I'm showing them is going to have a commission built into the price. But the buyers that walk in care less about that and care more about finding a home that they like from a company they can trust. In other words, I attract the Ethan Allen buyers of real estate, whereas for sale by owners are usually attracting the eBay buyers. That's why this is true, the USA Today article. That's why the guy who wrote and created for salebyowner.com couldn't even do it. Does that make sense, Eric, so far?
Yes.
All right. So once the homeowner gets that, okay, in selling my home, really selling it privately is not a good option, so I need to hire a realtor. Now let me share with you what I do in marketing properties. And then, Eric, you go through your whole listing conversation about MLS, brokers, open house, public open house. And during that whole time, Eric, everyone that you present, you must use an analogy in explaining. Eric, I'm sorry, man. Have you taken Sure Results with me, the three-day class?
Yeah.
All right. I thought you did because your name, I can't picture your face, but your name looks familiar. So when you took the Sure Results, you know how important the analogies and metaphors are for each marketing tool, yes?
Yes.
You need to do that. Are you doing that, Eric?
Probably not as well as I should.
All right. So I think that would be more the problem than the yeses. When you use the metaphors and analogies, it really does a mental thing on them. It really works well. And don't forget, you have to use two analogies for each marketing tool. So when you talk about MLS, you give an analogy, then another analogy. When you do the broker's open house, you may do the analogy about, buyers buying clothes at a runway show, and so that way they can bring it back to their store, sell it to their buyers. So you broker's open house, public open house, et cetera. Now, here's what I would suggest you do, Eric. When you think you're done, you would say to the homeowner, so Mr. and Mrs. Honorano, let me ask you a question. Based on everything that I showed you, do you feel that it's better that we work together than you trying to do this on your own? That's the question, Eric, I would ask them before you start getting into listing. So do you think that by everything that I've showed you, Mr. Mazzano, do you think that it's better that we work together in selling your house than you trying to do this on your own? And if they say yes, then you say, all right, let's figure out what price we should put the house on the market. And then you discuss price. Okay? Now, if they say before you discuss price, when you ask that question, based on everything that I showed you about marketing a home, do you feel it's better that we work together than you do it on your own? And they say, well, what commission do you charge? Eric, when they say that, that's when you should get concerned. And what you need to tell them is exactly that. Well, you know what? The fact that you guys asked me that, now I'm a little concerned. Here's why I say that. Is because by you asking me how much commission do I charge, you know, based on everything that I just showed you with the USA Today article and everything else, that even if I charge 10%, you guys would still put more money in your pocket. But my concern is more than just that. My concern is that that you may be looking to hire an agent based on what they charge and not based on their skill and their ability. And that is the second biggest mistake that homeowners make. See, getting your property sold is just like, let's say if you had to go to court, and if you were getting sued for something, would you want to go in with the best attorney or the cheapest attorney? If you won lottery and you had all this money, would you take this money and give it to a financial planner who charges the least amount or has the best skill in making your money grow? If you had, God forbid, you had to go in for some kind of operation, would you look for the cheapest doctor or the best skilled? There's an expression that says you get what you pay for. When it comes to selling your house, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this one of your most important assets in your life? And if it is, you should be looking for the best skilled, not the cheapest. Because I can find you the cheapest realtor. I can find agents that will charge you very little, but you do get what you pay for. And if you don't feel that I'm skilled enough to help get your property sold, then yeah, you shouldn't hire me. But what I want to suggest, if we end this meeting together and you decide to look for another realtor, please do yourself this favor. look based on their skill and their ability and not what they charge. Does that make sense, Eric?
Yes, it does.
All right. Did that help you at all?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. Now,
that's
Eric,
right.
One
no,
other thing. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
There's two things. Number one is, depending on when you took Sure Results, was it in the last 2 years?
Yes, down in Edison.
All right, and you were in Edison. Okay, I'm sorry, Erica. I know your name, man. I really do. I can't picture your face. I'm sorry. So then you should have the whole set of audio CDs. That was part of your Sure Results program, right? And
yes.
In those CDs, there is the presenting price, and there's getting higher commissions. Those two CDs, you need to listen to them, especially the commission one, because there's some great analogies and metaphors to handle commission objections, okay?
Okay.
Do you have any questions for me? And, Derek, do you have any questions?
No, I think
I'm okay. You can answer everything for me.
You're okay. I'm sorry, Derek. What did you say?
Derek says that I'm good. I'm fine. You answered everything for me. Thank you.
All right, very good, Derek. And go ahead, Eric, anything?
No, I think that's pretty good. I think I just got away from doing everything the way that you showed it.
Okay.
So I need to kind of go back to the CDs and start listening and driving my wife nuts by listening to them again.
Yeah, okay, good. And listen, I'm going to be coming back in the first half, I think in February, in Edison, okay? So
okay,
keep an
great.
Eye out for... Yeah, and for you, the tuition is reduced because you've already taken the program, so you'll get a cheaper price. So I encourage you to do that, okay? It's a review price, all right? Now,
great.
Before I end this call, does anybody have any questions? I'm going over time because I got frustrated with this technical thing. If anybody has a question, hit *6 on your phone, and it'll unmute you. Hit *6 very slowly. And then you'll be able to talk to me. Just do it once. Does anybody have a question?
Bill, where is this magazine that you've been referencing?
Yeah, well, if you go to the website, thepowerprogram.com, okay, once you go there, you have to use your username and password to log in.
Okay,
once you log
You said that. I'm sorry. I missed that. Thank you.
All right, hon. Yeah, and you'll see it right there on the page, on the homepage. By the way, you should also click on a classroom, and in the classroom section, there's some other bonus stuff in there for you, dialogue, some recordings, and over to the right, you'll see archives, and when you go to the archives, you'll see all the other months for the last year of magazines, okay? Any other questions?
Daryl, this is Claudette. I went on the website looking for the listing presentation, but I didn't see it there.
Okay, sure. Here's where it is. If you go to Classroom and scroll down where it says Visuals for Sellers, you're going to see the USA Today article, 10 Reasons to List During the Holidays, and then it'll say Listing Conversation Slides. That's the listing presentation. It's a PowerPoint file that you can customize, okay? And then the For Sale by Owner CEO article is also there that I was talking to Eric about. Any other questions from anybody?
Hi, Daryl. It's Dolores. I have a quick question.
Sure, Dolores.
I'm going on an appointment tonight with the FSBO. He is priced pretty reasonable right now. And the conversation that I had with him, I got out of him, he's retiring in about a year. Time is not an issue. How would I handle that going in tonight?
Time is not an issue. He's retiring.
In a year, and he said that he'll go into an apartment.
So he'll sell now
right.
And go into an apartment, but in a year he's going to move and retire? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, he's retiring in a year, so he put it now so this way he has a year time frame. So he's not
okay.
In a rush.
Okay, does he want to sell? Okay, but if somebody were to buy his house now, would he sell it now and then go into a rental? Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's exactly what he had said to me. If somebody came in and purchased it now, he would move now, but he's not in any rush. So if he sells it in 6 months,
but where would he,
it's 6 months.
Okay, so if he sold now and he goes into a rental, in a year when he retires, is he still going to be renting, or does he want to move somewhere else in his life?
He's going to move on to the next stage after he retires. He has
and
to stay in the area that he's in.
He wants to stay in the area that he's in a year?
Until he retires.
Until he retires.
He's forced,
when he retires,
right.
You think he's going to move somewhere else?
Right.
Do you know
but
where
I didn't
he's
get
going
that.
To...
No, I didn't get that far. How we ended the conversation is he's allowing me to come in this evening to preview the home and have a conversation with him.
Okay. So, Dolores, here's a couple of things. First of all, what's real important is you always have to get crystal clear, and it's not always possible on the phone, okay? But before you can really give somebody advice, you got to get crystal clear about what they're committed to in their life. So, for example, if in a year he's going to move to another state and he's going to move out of the area, okay, and if he sells now and if he rents for a year, financially, does that make any sense? I'm asking, Dolores, not like I know the answer, because I don't know where
right.
you are. I don't know what your rents are. So if he's definitely going to move out of the area in a year, it may not make any sense that he sells now and goes rent because it may cost him too much money. But on the other hand, based on what's happening in the market in real estate, if we're seeing an uptick in prices, maybe it is a good idea to sell now because in a year, property values could come down more if these foreclosed properties come on the market. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
So there's a lot of variables. So I would get really clear what serves him best, to sell now or to sell later. If what best serves him to sell later, it does not make sense to put it on the market and have it sit on the market at a high price for 12 months. Why? Because a house, you know this, Dolores, everybody on the call knows this. The longer something sits on the market, the harder it is for it to sell, because we all realtors, when we're looking at that property sit there month after month after month, it's like stale bread on a shelf. What happens in the supermarket? When the bread sits on the shelf too long and it goes past that expiration date, to sell the bread, they got to slash the price. And that's what happens when a home sits on the market too long. What has to happen is we have to lower the price below what it probably could have sold for if it had just come out on the market at the right price to sell immediately. Are you with me, Dolores?
I'm with you.
So he should put his house on the market with a commitment to selling now.
Okay.
And if it's not now, if it's a year from now, then he should not have it on the market at all. It actually hurts him to be on the market. Take it off when he's ready, then put it on with a commitment and you'll help him. So that's the part you got to get clear on, okay?
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome, very much. All right, gang. So listen, I'm going to end this call. I went over 15 minutes because I felt frustrated with the technical thing. I promise you I can't promise that won't happen again because technical things just happen. But this is not what always happens. If this is your first time on the call, it's happened once or twice in the past, but just don't worry. Just focus on the value of the content and don't get distracted by the technical stuff. So anyway, gang, go out there. Listen, the last thing I'm going to tell you is that this is August. We're going into the school year. A lot of you, your kids are going to be going back to school. When that happens, we're going to see a new set of buyers. You know, the buyers that have been coming out at this point have been, I think the other thing that's affected why we're seeing less buyers buying right now is the buyers that were out there a couple of months ago, they really wanted to get into a house perhaps before the school season started. And now that they've missed that window, those people may have put the idea on the shelf, but what's going to start coming on the market in the months of September and October are more committed buyers. Maybe not the same quality, but more committed. Anybody that starts buying in the last part of the year when we're moving into the holiday season, to me, those are the real serious buyers. So that's why it's important you build your inventory. So keep focused on that. Listen to the CDs for those you have it. Those of you, the FSBO Dialogue is also on the website after you log in under Classroom. get committed to a schedule, create a good habit of prospecting, build your listing inventory. I hope this helped you, gang. I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Go out there, make a difference. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon. All right, thank you.
Thank you.